Dyson Logistics have been on board with Shark Cast since day one, and because of that and their excellent service, we are proud to be associated with them. Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet your individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service. Dyson is a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates, and I should also point out their head honcho is a lifelong season ticket holder of the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Find them online, www.dysonlogistics.com, or call them on 02-8339-1844. Dyson Logistics, service delivered. Sharkies! Sharkies!
Fafita tries to crash his way out, but he does! Fafita got the ball over the line!
And to all you people back in the Shire, turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy!
Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast, a podcast dedicated to the greatest sporting club in the history of the world, the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. My name is Sam Schnazzy, I'm an OG from 2015, and this show is brought to you by the Dyson Logistics Company. I'm stumbling over my words because they're the greatest company doing logistics based in the Central Coast, but heart always in the Sutherland Shire. Our friends at the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking and Jason Hawes at Crips and Crips. Those three great sponsors look after us and we appreciate it greatly. I am joined on the other end of this line in these COVID times by regular guest host who did an episode with us already this week. He's back for another one. His name is Jardine Ormsby. We don't have breaking news, but we thought we'd have a bit of fun. And this has been building for a while. It's Jardine's idea, which I love. And we're going to do a two-person fantasy draft Sharks all-time team, basically. And so we're just going to take turns in picking our team, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. But we thought we'd have a little bit of fun during lockdown, post-bye week. And we're both pretty big fantasy people anyway. Jards, what can you say about what we're going to do here?
This is nothing more than a little bit of fun to help our regular listeners get through some pretty unconventional times at the moment. So the idea for this was hatched, you know, at the start of the season when old Bomber was still around. That's how far back we're going now. And I just thought it would be a kind of a fun way for us to share a few stories about some of the people that may have crossed our paths, to take a very fantasy approach to drafting this. Actually, what this show really needs, what this episode really needs, is someone like a TK to keep us on the path, the fantasy guru and wizard himself. But for the interim, what we're going to do is we are going to assemble a 1 through 13 to help you get through your week. And we're just going to take turns, I believe, Sam, in picking players. And I guess it should be noted that what we're about to do is not necessarily pick the greatest Sharks players in the order of their greatness to the club. I think anyone who knows fantasy knows there's probably a little bit of trickery that's involved in this whole thing. I think you need to weigh up things as you go through this process of position scarcity, should I say. So if there is a position that the club may historically be a little skinny in, we might prioritize and go to those quicker than some of the other ones, knowing we can come back and get a player. So we'll just be having fun like that as we go through it.
And just to touch on what you said about TK and people like him who we know who love fantasy, at the end of the year, we're going to do a bigger draft, a live draft, and we're just testing it out now, having a bit of fun, and then we'll get a lot more serious then. Not that you and I won't be serious now, but...
Oh, I'm dead serious.
I know. And we're going to do it with TK and a few other people. We might even film it and have a bit of fun with it. But yes, this is just you and I. So my point is we're both going to have pretty good teams. There's only two people, so...
We have a history, a club history that's strong enough to have two very good teams here. So let's just have a little bit of fun with this and see where it takes us. And hopefully this brings a little bit of light to people's week.
Yes, and we should point out that we are going to be picking some really good players, but we're also going to pick out some fan favorites of our own, and and we have to acknowledge that we were not around for a large part of this team's history, and if we don't pick the best player from 1971, there's a reason why. So this may be heavily influenced by the last 20 or 30 years, but it doesn't mean we won't go beyond that. I'm just letting everyone know that there's a lot of disclaimers here. Sit back and just have some fun. Please don't hate on us.
Now, a little bit of a backstory to get us started. You and I were at Mr. Paisley's.
Oh, there we go. Little weekly Paisley's drop.
Weekly Mr. Paisley's drop. We discussed this. We thought it would be fun to do. And one of the very first questions that you asked was, well, who gets to pick first? Which it felt like the only way to really resolve that was a good old-fashioned coin toss. And for those who are listening right now, let me tell you how that coin toss went. I pulled the coin out of my pocket. I allowed the great man over here to call heads or tails. He chose heads, which might I say to anyone who's ever making important decisions in life via a coin toss. It was an absolutely terrible decision.
Because tails never fails, right?
Tails never fails, and I truly believe that you can speak that into existence as the coin is in the air. You went with heads.
I thought I had a 50-50 chance, you know?
You went with heads, and it was tails.
So really, the pressure's on you. The pressure's not on me. You get the first pick.
The first pick of our Sharkcast, our first ever Sharkcast fantasy draft, will be made by myself. Now, are we ready, Sam? Are we ready to do this? Is that enough of a background for people who are listening?
I'm not ready, but I'm happy to start.
Okay. I believe with all earnest in my, with all of my heart, Sam, that the greatest player in Cronulla Sharks history, the club GOAT, is Paul Gallen. And with all due respect to the many other legends that we have in our club, I don't even think it's much of a debate that he is the greatest player in our history. You were kind enough to whip over a little bit of some stats that you had, which I really should have brought up before we started this thing, and I'm just going to bring it up now. 348 games, captain of the first ever premiership team. When I look at, and so many accolades along the way, when I look back at the greatest Sharks player of all time, the name that is going to immediately come to mind for me is Paul Gallen.
So who are you picking?
However, in a fantasy draft, like I mentioned before.
Here we go. I'd already just picked my second guy. I was like, I don't know if I'm taking it. No, I don't.
There is one position in our history where I believe the gap between our best player in this position and our second best player in this position is a little bit wider than some of the other positions that we have. And I can see you smiling on the other end of our COVID Zoom.
It's an angry smile.
It is because of that with the first pick, the first overall pick, in our fantasy draft, I am going to leave Paul Gallen on the board for the time being and hope that I can snag him in the next round or two. And instead, with the first pick, Team Jards is going to select the one and only and undefeated in origin, David Peachy, who is going to be my fullback and who is going to anchor my spine in this fantasy draft. Thank you very much.
Can I just say, screw you. Because I was going straight there.
For the same reasons?
I just wanted him, I guess. He played 232 games for the Sharks. He captained the club 61 times, scored 110 tries. He won 135 of his matches. He went on to play for a season with the Rabbitohs after that, which is, of course, just the biggest tragedy that ever existed. But I give to you, Mr. David Peachy, and I congratulate you on your first pick.
One of the things that we're going to do in this episode is, if you have a story to tell, Sam, I'm going to ask you to tell a story. I actually do have one with Peach. So part of the reason that I chose him is not just for that position scarcity thing, which is a thing, but not really. He is my favorite Sharks player of all time. I think that I'm on the record for saying that. But it's so much deeper than what he did on the field. For me, if you removed all the grace that he played the game with, everything just looked so effortless for him. And, you know, I'm really excited by what I'm seeing out of Will Kennedy right now, because there are definitely some shades of that freedom that he had in his game. But I remember as a kid, one of my last conversations that I had with my old man, he passed away when I was a little bit younger. And it was one of those, you know, there's so much going on in the world today that I don't need to, you know, ham up the story. But it was one of those ones where, you know, he was there 1 minute with us and the next he wasn't. But the last conversation that I remember having with my dad was when I was telling him what I had done that day. And what I had actually done that day was that I had interviewed David Peachy to talk about his career. I'd done it at the Leagues Club. His manager at the time, Simon Durs, was there too. And we just spoke about it. For me, it was a little bit of a preamble to figure out if I wanted to write a little bit more about his life or things like that. I just wanted to ask him a few questions, and he was kind enough to come out there and meet with me. And I ended up going home that night and, you know, saying to my dad in what I didn't know at the time was the last conversation that we were going to have together. And he asked me what I did that day. And I said, I went and interviewed David Peachy. And it was just like one of those really cool moments that I had with my dad to be able to tell him that I had that with my favorite player of all time. Fast forward a couple of years from there, when I was working at the club, we were in Taupo or Taupo, depending on which part of New Zealand you're from. It's that one game that we took away to New Zealand, one of the very first games that we took away. And I believe at the time Peach was living there or something like that. But he played an integral part in not only getting the game there. Damo probably knows more about that than I do. But he was there and he was involved in helping us getting things organized. And I just remember on one occasion, we needed to run an errand from the hotel to the stadium. And, you know, he just called and said, hey, Jads, let's just go and get this thing done. And I remember sitting in the car thinking to myself, holy cow, I'm riding solo with my favorite football player of all time. And we're talking about life. We're talking about, you know, Wynnum, his son. We're talking about things there. And I just remember feeling like it was such a special moment for me. I've done a lot of cool things in my working life, Schnaz, but those memories that I have with him, you know, are ones that I will hold very, very fondly. And I hope to see him around sometime again soon.
Did you happen to tell him about the conversation with your dad?
No, I didn't tell him about that the second time, which is odd too, because we were talking about life and we were talking about parenthood. And I was actually telling him how I was kind of still trying to find my place as a dad and figure out how I could do it better. So it didn't come up, but, you know, my dad's name was also David, and a small twist of fate. Like, that's just coincidence. I don't think there's anything beyond coincidence on that one. Sure. But very cool experiences. So on top of the football that he gave off the field, on the field, it's those interactions with him off the field that I hold so dearly. And for me, once I landed that first pick, it was only ever going to be David Peachy for me. Well, so thank you for indulging me on that one.
No, you've guilted me into thinking it's okay you actually got him. So
with the second pick, we move on. And I'm very interested to see how you're going to go here, because it's going to probably dictate a lot of what I've got coming up next.
Yeah, I'm already feeling the pressure in fantasy, and I'm already remembering how I feel every, what is it, August, September, when we do NFL, and it's just like, I really want to love this, but it really gives me anxiety. I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going back to that era and the era before it, and I'm going with, again, one of the greatest Sharks of all time. I think our first 7 or 8 Sharks, you probably could say that. I'm going with a gentleman who scored the most tries for the club. I'm going with a gentleman who has played the second the most amount of games, 328, 20 less than Paul Gallen. And I'm going with one of my childhood heroes, Mr. Andrew Ettinghausen, to play in the centres for me, please, Jarden, if you may note that down.
Lock it in. Tommy, Sam, your first ET memory, or at least, let me rephrase it, your fondest ET memory from your time at the stadium?
I got a few, actually, and none of them involve playing. I used to love watching him play. Just a remarkable athlete from a young age up until his retirement. Graceful and a real nice guy off the field. I was lucky enough to be in his company on and off as a fan, like just throughout the years as a fan. And a friend of mine, one of my best friends in primary school, Steve, who may be listening, I'm not sure, he and I started going to ET's gym when we were all of the age of, how old were we? We were probably 11 maybe?
Yeah, right.
And we were playing, at the time we were playing soccer for the North Carolina Redbacks, and we were just massive Sharks fans. We go to heaps of games. My grandfather would take us, and ET opened up this gym in the Lees Club, and you know, he was the face of it. I think he owned it or co-owned it. And we went down there and he showed us around. He was our instructor and it was like, this is unbelievable. And he was just so nice. And I just, yeah, I think the world of the guy, and really disappointed he didn't get to win the title, and extremely happy he got to have that grand final experience. It broke me as a human being seeing that. And that's why we need a statue of it.
Yeah. That's really cool. That's really, really cool. And I didn't grow up in the Shire, so I think sometimes you need to have grown up there to feel the impact of someone like an ET who was really active in the community and is just so beloved. It broke me too. It really did. Yeah. Seeing that embrace, and Chucky did such a good job of capturing it.
It was his emotion. It wasn't Paul Gallen. It wasn't the fact that it was our two best. It was ET breaking down, you know, more or less, and showing that emotion that got everyone going, I think.
I think so too. It was the ghost of 99, or the shackles of 1999 being released. he deserved a premiership. He never got it. To have seen him embrace Gal the way that it did, you're right, it does deserve a statue, and I will contribute the GoFundMe to make that happen at our new Leagues Club. Are you okay if we swing back to me?
Yes, yes.
On this one. So, David Peachey and E.T. are off the boards with pick 1 and 2. I don't know how many people out there have ever seen the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner, the great Kevin Costner. But there is a scene, I mean, I don't mean to spoil the movie for people, but I am going to spoil the movie for people if you haven't seen it, so skip forward here. But with the first pick in his arsenal, Kevin Costner, who plays GM Sonny Weaver in this movie, he knows that he's going to field calls from teams all over the place trying to get him to trade that pick with them. And he knows that there is a player he really wants to have in his team, and that other people are going to try and dissuade him from taking that player. So what he does at the start of the movie is he writes on a little post-it note like this that he puts in his pocket, and the post-it note says
the post-it note says
in his pocket, it says, I don't remember the player's name now, but it has the player's name that he wants to draft no matter what. And I have written, to make this simple for myself.
I'm really not happy about this.
To make this simple for myself, I have done the same thing because I knew I would overcomplicate this decision.
I can't believe you're about to do this to me.
And with this post-it note, I'm going to read it out so that everyone else can see it, which I wrote before this draft. It says, third pick overall, Steve Rogers, no matter what.
Ooh.
So I am going to take Steve Rogers with the third overall pick and the second of my team, and I'm going to slide him in there.
Where's he going to play?
He's going to play in the centers for me. I came after his time at the club as a player. By the time I was starting to get into football and see it, Matt was the only Rogers that I kind of knew. But having been able to watch tape, having been able to do my research, having been able to read a bunch of materials, I was able to properly appreciate, not properly appreciate, but as best as I could, I was able to appreciate his contribution to the club what he means. Yeah, I know there was a stint at St. George there in between, and for some people that kind of changes the narrative for them. Nah. I don't think that's fair or right. He is a club legend. He is on my Mount Rushmore.
He went because we were going broke, you know, like.
Yeah, he needed to get paid.
He wasn't doing it to spite us.
So I think when you look at the list of accomplishments of all the players that we have in our team, he's right up there with Gal, I believe, in terms of the achievements on the international stage, on these other stages there. And I'm very happy to have him in my back line next to Peach.
So Dally M Player of the Year, 81. Rothman Medalist, 75. Lock of the Year, playing lock, 81. He's in the Hall of Fame in the NRL. He played 231 NRL games for the Sharks, played 202 games, which is quite a lot back then for that era. He was captain 52 times, scored 1,253 points for us. So, yeah, absolute. One of the
superstar.
Best.
Absolutely. Superstar. I'm glad to have him on Team Jards. Over to you.
Back to me, eh?
With your second pick.
There's a lot of ways we could go here. And you know, part of me wants to just grab people who I love, who I know you love too.
It's part of the...
It is. It's part of the fun.
Part of the fun.
There's a lot of greats that I could just grab right now. Oh, boy.
The pressure is on, Sam.
Oh, boy. It is. I'm gonna go with I'm not gonna go with a bit of shock. I'm gonna wait on that one.
Do it.
Nah.
This is the time for shock.
If I regret it.
Alright.
I've got two back rowers in mind.
Here we go.
Whichever one I don't take, you're going to take. But I am going to take the GOAT, Paul Gallen. Right now. Give me Paul Gallen.
Nice pick. Very good pick. Where are we sliding him into? Back row?
He can play lock for me, I think. I think he's earned it. I think the 1-3 belongs to Gal. And I don't need to tell you about his history. I don't need to tell you about Paul Gallen. And my favorite memory of Paul Gallen is probably thanking him on... Well, the week, when was it? A week or two after the grand final, I was blessed to be at the Monty Porter Awards, which was a great occasion, a very special occasion, and I got to say thank you to Paul Gallen, and which he sort of acknowledged and bowed, and I bowed, and it was very beautiful. So, Paul Gallen is my luck.
Very good. Great pick. I'm very disappointed by that pick. It was coming around for me. I was hoping to do a late jag there. So I guess we don't need to, like you said, we don't need to go into too much about no. Gal. Quickly before we move off Gal, can I just say that what he has done post-football has been so inspiring to me personally. When I see him getting into those boxing rings, into the boxing ring against, you know, some average competition, but also some really good competition, he just exemplifies everything that I want my kids to be as it relates to ambition and taking risk and just chasing things that you want to do. And I've spoken about this on social media. I think in today's world, there's just so much criticism that comes in for whether it's on social media, whether it's in your WhatsApp groups, for just trying to do things differently or just trying things that are outside your comfort zone. And Gal's just someone who, you know, doesn't get, isn't fazed by that stuff. If he has something that he wants to do, he's going to go do it. So really inspiring to me, and great choice there, Sam. And also a choice that creates a little bit of a conundrum for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
A conundrum predicament for me is the better way to say it. With Peach, E.T., Steve Rogers, and Paul Gallen off the board, I am probably going to maintain the conventional route at this point, and I am going to select dual Dally M medalist Gavin Miller and slide him into my team here. So just on this one as well, Gavin Miller was someone that I just missed. I was born, I guess, mid to late 80s, so I didn't really I wasn't consciously aware of the football I was seeing until I was, you know, until the early to mid 90s. So I kind of missed Gavin Miller, but I have gone back and watched some of the tape.
Oh yeah.
Phenomenal ball player. I feel like that's someone who, if he played today, whew, I think he'd tear it up.
Oh yeah.
Always seemed to find the right pass. Hard working, tough as nails. And I remember working down there at the club. He was actually someone who would make an effort to get down there as often as he possibly could.
Yeah.
Amongst the legends. I believe he's still pretty active in terms of when the club needs something from him. Mm. He's always there. So I missed seeing his heyday myself, but did not miss the historical value that he brought to the club. Do you have any memories of him?
I do. He had two parts to his career. In 1977, he started out with Western Suburbs.
Right.
Then he went to the Roosters, played with the Sharks from 1980 to 1983. And I wasn't on board then. But then he went to England, I'm pretty sure, for a couple of years. And in 1986, he came back to Cronulla. In round 14, he made his comeback, 1986, at Shark Park against his old club, the Roosters. And I remember being there with my grandfather, who, as I said, took me to a lot of games. And my grandfather would buy these, which is where I kind of get it from. He would get these really great seats in the then, I don't even know what the stand was called. It wasn't the ET stand. It was called something else, and it was slightly smaller from memory. But same kind of vibe. Like, it was a grandstand. And he used to get us these great seats right by the tunnel every time. And Miller ran out that day. I think he was the last one to run out from memory. And the place went bonkers. And I was across what was happening, but remember thinking at the time, saying to my grandfather, you know, what the hell's going on? He's like, oh, you know, wait till you see him play. And we lost that game quite badly, but he was really good. And from then on, he definitely hit his best career patch and would go on to play from 86 through to 92. Quite remarkably, ended up in reserve grade. I think it was possibly more political than anything else, but an absolute gem of a player. My favorite game of his, which I harp on about every now and then, is the playoff for fifth in 1989.
Yay. Yes,
against Brisbane, yes. Which they show on Fox a lot, and he just basically dominates the Queensland Origin team, is what it was. Fantastic player, someone I always loved, and someone I've got to know a little bit through this podcast. He's a really big supporter of it, and really nice guy and super humble. Like, he's happy to talk about everything, but you sort of sometimes have to remind him of who he is sometimes, you know, like, hey, you're Gavin Miller, you know, don't forget it. If you ever see Gav out and about, definitely go up and say hello, because he's a real sweetheart. And I congratulate you on that pick, and I kind of knew you'd go there after I went with the other person I went with.
You forced my hand.
Yeah, okay.
You forced my hand, which turns us back to you. So
it does.
We're up here, sixth pick overall and third for your team. You have ET and Gal so far.
Wow.
Your next pick, great man, is?
Oh, man. It's getting harder and harder, I got to say. It's getting harder and harder. Da, 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 da. I'm going to go with a fan favorite and a real talented athlete. And probably a little bit early here, which I do sometimes do in fantasy drafts. I just go with someone I want, you know? And I'm just going to do it for the good of the game, for the good of the club. I'm going to get some redemption for this young man. And I am going to put, I don't know what position he's going to play, but I'm going to pick right now a gentleman that should have retired with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Preston Campbell.
Oh, my word. That hurts me. That was going to be a little bit of a.
Your revenge is going to be amazing, and when you say that name, I'm going to be really annoyed, and the podcast is going to end. So, I take Preston. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And by thank you very much, I mean screw you too. I do have my thoughts on Preston. My immediate thought on Preston Schnaz is that year when he won the Daily, I mean, really. One of the things I was hoping to do was actually own all of the Cronulla Sharks Daily M medals in my team, and you've removed that dream from me. Thank you very much. The fire may have burned longer for other Cronulla Sharks. But at least in my time, I don't think the fire ever burned as hot as it did for Preston. That was just such a magical run. He is one of many names that I think is going to appear in this draft that is ultimately a victim of the Chris Anderson era here. That's something entirely different. It's a real shame that things ended the way that they did. Although it seems like, you know, I don't think Preston's particularly bothered now, having gone and had the career that he had, obviously winning a premiership with Penrith and then going on and up the coast. Your memories of him and why you picked him?
I remember watching him in lower grades, and he was always very elusive and just really remarkable to watch. He was tiny. If you never saw him in real life, he was as tiny as he looks on TV. He was all heart. I think he was playing on the wing when I was watching him in lower grades, and you could just tell Johnny Lang was a really big supporter of his. In a remarkable team, but he just added that little bit more of unpredictability. So we had Peachy, we had Adam Dykes, we had guys that really played off the cuff. We had a little bit of stability there in guys like Mitch Healy. But the John Lang offense was very much play what's in front of you and just go nuts. And Preston was very much a weapon in that arsenal. And 01 was just a real dreamlike season for us. It didn't finish the way it should have, but we'll never forget seeing him play live. I often will think about and watch the Bulldogs final where we whipped them, the SFS, that day in the finals, and he was just carving him up, and very, very big admirer of his as a person and as a footballer.
Very cool. Well, given that you've made that choice, I don't want to get caught in the halves with my pants down. So I'm going to have to quickly move in now with the 7th overall pick and my 4th pick here. I am going to take, with a very short, small body of work at the club, but an important body of work all the same, I am going to have to take James Maloney right now and put him into my 5/8 position. The preliminary final against the Cowboys is my ultimate Sharks James Maloney game. Mm-hmm. I've just never seen, and you know, he did this all the time in his career. One of the best purchases in club history, if not the best purchase in club history, I believe. And that run, I'm not entirely sure if 2016 materializes should the club not get him to come in, because he's just an out-and-out winner. Wherever he goes, he takes teams to places that they don't necessarily deserve to be in or should have any business being in. But his record in propelling teams there, I can't ignore it. Love to give away a penalty. I think that was the only thing I really had a bit of a hard time accepting there. But great signing. I need to plug him in there because, again, you have forced my hand. It's probably not. I didn't want to necessarily go this early on a Jimmy Maloney, but there he is. And the floor now turns back to you.
Well, just on Maloney, that game he played against the Cowboys, the prelim, which we always talk about, as I always remind you, it starts off with that bus ride from Artarmon through to the station. But we got the bus and the train, and we were so nervous. It was hilarious. And the other memory I have is, I think Newman had organised a bit of a unofficial get together at the Cricketers Arms.
Right.
And so we were hanging out with a bunch of our friends and listeners. It was a lot of fun. To a man and woman, everyone was hammering me about Chad because of the week before getting dropped.
Getting hooked.
Yeah. And I just had this vibe. I was like, no, it's okay. We got this. It's going to be okay. And I was kind of faking it because I was just so nervous. But I didn't want people just to think that I wasn't in. And, you know, but James Maloney that day got us through to the grand final, and he scored 2 tries. He kicked 6 from 8, had 46 touches of the ball. He ran for 117 meters, including that intercept of sorts, which sealed the deal. 5 tackle busts, 2 line breaks, 1 line break assist, 1 try assist, 11 tackles, no misses, 7 kicks for 223 meters. So he was very good.
Very, very good. We needed him.
And I'm obviously just stalling because I don't know who I'm going to pick next. I am going to pick someone. This will get people writing in, I think, which is fantastic because we like to hear. When I say people writing in because of this, because I'm going so early.
Okay.
But my pure motivation is so you don't get him, which really is giving you the ultimate advantage because now you're just going to pick someone who technically is probably more important and better or whatever. But at this time, and we can slot our players around, right? Like if I pick this gentleman and he goes in one position, I can put him somewhere else as long as it all fits, right?
Correct.
I'm going to pick the 2016 Premiership winning, much like you just did, outside back, and it's not Ricky Lattelli, and it's not Ben Barber. No, I shouldn't be giving you these ideas. And it's not Fecky, and it's not Beal, and it's not Bird. But I'm going to give you the very talented, in my words, much maligned, because people are excuse my language. And yeah, he had a bad game on Wednesday, but I don't give a you better give me Valentine Holmes right now. Right now, Jar.
Amazing. Amazing. That is our first, I think this is our first jaw-dropping moment of the draft. Val Holmes, 8th pick overall in Sharks.
The enjoyment this man gave me, I cannot even begin to verbalise, even though I've been trying for the last 7 years.
One of my favourite players during that run as well. I still have question marks about the way it ended. Someone once suggested to me, someone close to the situation, once suggested something to me that I don't even really care to investigate because I don't, you know, he's free to do whatever he wants. But once suggested that the main motivator behind the NFL dream was actually that there was a knowledge the Cowboys were going to be there after should it not work. And that he wanted to go home and maybe that this was the easiest way to break the news to the club is to have a stopgap along the way called the NFL.
Yeah. That's been widely spoken of.
Yeah. And look, fair is fair. I mean, we wanted him to become our fullback of the future. That whole process seemed like it was going to be expedited when the Ben Barber situation happened immediately after that grand final win. But I guess the guarantees may not have been there.
The coach and coaching staff mucked that up a little bit because they had Dugan come in first.
Yes,
and
correct.
They had a couple other guys. Was it Bird competing for it? And in the end, he had a hell of a season in 2018 as our fullback. Yeah, that theory's been thrown about a lot. Yeah, look, okay. I'm not going to say that I was overly thrilled with how he left, but I'm also not going to pour pure hatred on him like other people have, and that's they're entitled to, whatever. This person just gave me immense joy, and I watched him from probably age 14 or 15, and I'd become very attached to him as a player, and he delivered on what he'd promised. My favorite Valentine Holmes moment, I think, is the game against the Cowboys at home. It must have been 2016 when he intercepted the ball and it was on our side of the ET stand. And it was this amazing run where he sort of goes in and away. And I think maybe it's one of our stingers. I think Warren Smith might be calling it. And it's just brilliant. And anyway, that's my pick.
Good times. I love it, Sam. I'm here for the shock factor, and you've definitely done that. The last two picks that we've made here have both been from the 2016 Premiership winning team. I'm a little bit nervous about, well, I'm not nervous about making this pick. You have made me, the way that you built up that last pick, I really thought that you were going to take someone that I desperately wanted to have in my team. He is from the 2016 Premiership team. I don't necessarily love spending collateral this early on forwards, but I am going to select with the 9th pick in our draft and my 5th player overall. I'm going to pick Big Andrew Fifita and slide him into one of my forward positions. And I'm just going to say it. I think is the... You know, I know he wasn't named as a starter on the Sharks team of the half century, but I think he is one of the greatest players in club history. if not for the grand final moment, but for the way that he kind of redefined that position a little bit. I mean, he was a wrecking ball when he came over from the Tigers, and he did things at the start of his Sharks career that not a lot of people had seen a big man do. I feel in some ways that he was the Taumalolo before Taumalolo in some regards, of paving the way for these really agile big guys. But that try, and look, I was looking at this the other day, with all due respect, with the utmost respect that I have for Luke Lewis, I'm not sure the Clive Churchill medal should have gone in that direction, given the body of work that was put in there. And that's if you remove that try too. Either way, most important try in club history, delivers the maiden premiership against a team that typically never concedes tries like that. I've forgotten how many people he carried over the line to score that.
Five
Melbourne Storm players being carried over the line. The energy, the enthusiasm. He is the greatest prop that the club has ever had, in my eyes.
We will keep talking about Andy for a sec, but can I ask you, if did you think Luke Lewis was the second best player on the field for the grand final?
Very close, behind. I think he was right up there, and he is deserving, for sure.
There's a whole bunch you could pick.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch you could pick. I don't think he gets enough credit for his decision not to reach out for that try when he is basically, you know, within inches of putting it down. A lot of other people would have tried
We score next play or next scrum.
Next scrum, we score. That scrum probably doesn't happen. In fact, we get penalized.
Yes.
If Luke Lewis is tempted. That's veteran savvy. I appreciated that for him. Not necessarily the same as Andrew's stats on the night or things like that.
So Andrew, I think, came in 2012, but my favorite game of his, aside from the grand final, would be 2013, round 17 at Shark Park against his former club, the Tigers, on a Friday night. And we won 36-22, and he scored two tries. And one of them, I'm pretty sure, was for a prop, a long-distance try. And you're right. People probably have forgotten how agile he used to be and how dangerous he was and a very unique player, a very unique forward. I mean, guys have done it before, most notably Arthur Beetson, but it's not common for a prop to play like that. And the fact he did it at the highest level for so long is remarkable. And it's sad that at this time he can't do it at the highest level as far as his body goes. But you're right. Like, he is one of the greats, and that should never be forgotten.
He's in that Hall of Fame we spoke about in the earlier podcast we recorded this week. He'll be there. Which sends it over to you now. So we're kind of starting to fill the teams out a little, just to, you know, keep everyone who's listening at home up to speed. So far on Team Schnaz, we have Val Holmes, ET, Preston, and Gal. Who are you going to grace us with next?
This is really tough, but there's a bit of a theme going on at the moment for me, and I'm going to continue that theme with someone who played for us for 6 or 7 years, played 123 games. He scored over 1,000 points for us, and he's the son of an iconic figure at the club. I'm not talking about Andrew Pearce. I'm talking about Matt Rogers.
That was my next pick. You really messed me up there, Schnaz. Great pick. Really, really good pick.
Yeah, again with Edinghausen and the John Lang years specifically, just remarkable talent. Could turn a try from nowhere and incredible pace. Again, not a really big guy. Like, he was quite slight for a lot of his career. Super quick, great goal kicker. And it was kind of cool at the time to have, you know, I love that kind of romance of the son of a great, and he broke records himself, and he was great in his own way. Like, I'm not going to say he was better than his dad, but he was a very, very, very good player who played at the highest level and then went and played rugby as well. And I am picking Matt Rogers for that reason. Incidentally, I want to say Carina Hospital He and I both had our appendix out at the same time. It was the next bet.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's a cool little trivia.
We were both age 23. And I'll say this. My grandfather, who keeps getting a mention, my late grandfather, who I was very close to, he brought in a Sharks ball, and Steve was kind enough to sign it even while his son was recovering from his appendicitis.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Great family.
Yeah.
Great family. Okay, that really hurts me. That was my next pick right there. Can I ask, if I had taken Matt in the last round, who would you have taken right now? Was it Andrew Fifita? Would you have taken him this round?
No, but he's on a list, so gotcha good.
That's going to
haunt
me.
There you go. Where would you have taken Val?
Not in the next five picks.
Whoa. There you go. So we both screwed each other.
I'm up. Okay. I'm going to move quickly here. My last two picks have been from the 2016 Premiership winning team. I'm going to make it three picks in a row.
Wow.
I'm going to slide Mick Ennis into my hooker position, giving me a spine that at a minimum has Peach, Maloney, and Mick Ennis. I'm feeling pretty confident.
You think that's
about,
pretty good, do you?
I'm feeling pretty confident that one of my big boppers is just going to steamroll over Val on his way to scoring the match-winning try that you have there. I've always loved Mick Ennis, even before he came to the club. I think you need to have players like him in your team to kind of push you into places that you want to get to. His iconic. There are two iconic Mick Ennis Cronulla Sharks moments. One is obvious and gets played on television a lot, and it's the Viking clap that just it's just perfect in so many ways. I'll never forget that moment. I love it, and if I can get a picture of it, I'm going to hang it on my man cave sometime soon. But then also, I think his celebration at the full time whistle for the grand final, where who is it that he falls over? He falls.
So he goes over to the ball boys.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure one of them is his son.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. Does he fall over a mascot before that? Or am I remembering that?
I think
that
he jumps over someone or something to get to
or
the
a player?
Boys.
Yeah. Either way, pure joy. I remember his post-match interview there where he's kind of stumbling through his words, the shock of everything. Fifita comes out of him a couple of times because that's still there. I did have a lot of memories with other hookers in club histories, but I'm going for the W in this fantasy things, Chaz, so I'm going to have to accelerate that. And since you, that might also be me recovering from you stealing Matt Rogers from underneath me in the last round. So I'm going to turn it back to you right now. Your back line's looking pretty slick.
Yeah, I might need to do something about some forwards, I think. And I'm going to go straight to the Clive Churchill Medal winner.
Hey.
And I'm going to go with Mr. Luke Lewis, who ended up playing 116 matches for us. And you cannot get over the fact that Penrith let this guy go, but that's okay. It was a happy ending for us. And interestingly enough, on the Craig Fitzgibbon interview on 2GB this week, which we touched on Jardine in the episode earlier as well, Fitz mentions that he wants guys like Luke Lewis and Paul Gallen to stay involved with the club. And I'm happy for him to be involved in my fantasy team. And I'm going to slide him, I imagine, into the second row, please.
Okay. He is there. Nicely done. Okay, currently, at this point of the draft, Team Jards is, from the back line moving forward in no particular order, David Peachey, Steve Rogers, James Maloney, Andrew Fifita, Michael Ennis, and Gavin Miller. And on the other side, we've got the lightweights. we've got...
Well, the back three's pretty light.
Well, the back three's pretty light, but everything... Well, your back four's kind of a little light.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got Val Holmes, Matt Rogers, E.T., Preston Campbell, Luke Lewis, and Paul Gallen. So this is all probably running mostly to script, with the exception of maybe a couple of people, I believe. And like you before, I am stalling a little bit right now because I'm not entirely sure where I'm going to go next. But I feel as though the right place for me to go is I need to get something into my back line. Mm. And I'm going to select a center here who I think is going to... I'm going to make it another Origin center here. And I'm going to slide Chris McKenna.
Ooh, nice.
Into my team at this point to partner Steve Rogers here as my center pairings. Chris McKenna was there when I was kind of coming into my own as a football fan. Obviously, one of those who was the gatekeeper who was being groomed to be the future after ET, it felt like at that position, although he did move into the back row towards those tail ends. But one of the things that I always appreciated about Chris McKenna that I didn't necessarily feel was replicated by other centers at the club after him was that he was always willing to give that extra pass that seemed to make a difference. And he always seemed to be able to find Peach when he was bursting through there. You can go through and look at the David Peachy highlight tapes that are on YouTube, and you'll often find the last pass being made by Chris McKenna. So a little early in some regards, because certainly I think when you think about club legends all of that, I don't know how high Chris McKenna is up on that list. You've got the chart there, Snaz. How many games do I have under my belt with this selection?
118.
Okay.
No, good memories, really good memories, and a tough hombre, and could play a little bit of back row as well as centres. Hmm. Played for Queensland, and yeah, he's good.
Good. So that turns it back to you now, and you're still looking a little skinny in your forward pack.
Yeah, I know. I do have my eye on a few different ways to go here. I mean, are you calling Paul Gallen skinny?
No. I'm talking about there's no one there right now. It's Gal, it's Luke Lewis, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, on your suggestion, I'm going to pick a forward, and I'm going to... Oh, I've got a couple of guys here. I'm going to go with a club great, someone who I saw the end of his career, but I've heard a lot about, read a lot about, seen some great stuff, and he's one of the Sorensen boys, and I'm gonna go with the shorter version, and that is Dane in the front row. Yeah,
very nice, very and nice.
I only have one experience of talking to Dane. I think that's correct, and that was after the grand final win, and he was... I don't know if he always has been, but he was... he's not a drinker in the slightest, or he wasn't that night, and he was so chilled and so... I think he was in shock, to be honest.
Right.
Whereas we were all in shock, but kind of, you know, three or four drinks in or whatever. Dane was just soaking it all in, and really nice guy, super nice guy, and I you know, thanked him for his services at the club. He was also a board member and that kind of thing. But yeah, that was my one time meeting him. Real gentleman, really quiet guy, but tough as they come.
Yeah.
And along with his brother Kurt, who you may pick up or I may pick up later, a real legend of the club and a great Kiwi international as well.
Great pick. I miss Soro's heyday, so to speak. His tape is impressive too.
Mm.
There, bonus points from being born where he was born for me. Kurt, also fond memories of Kurt as well.
A bit wilder, yeah.
It swings back to me here. Mm-hmm. Great pick. I probably would have liked to have had Dane Sorensen next to Big Andy Fifita. For me, you've now removed another one of my picks. By the way, we should talk about whether or not we would like to trade any of our players after this, because it's really just kind of eating at me, the gap between David Peachy and Steve Rogers on my list right now. That was supposed to be Matt Rogers, and you took that away from me. Look, we're getting to the tail end here. We're on the downhill slide, and I'm going to go back to my forwards right now.
Interesting.
And I am going to pick... This pick is for me. I'm making this pick for me, not necessarily because of his... one of the best players in this position in club history, although I think we underestimate him in his prime. But I'm going back to my 2016 team, and I'm going to pick my second favorite Shark of all time behind David Peachy. I'm going to slide Wade Graham in to my team here. For me, there's a little bit of Preston about him in the sense of when he was at his peak, which I think, you know, we're past now. I think it's safe to say that we're past that now. He was devastating. His ball playing skills, you know, I love the idea of having him in my back row next to Gavin Miller because, you know, I've almost got 2 5-8s in that team to feed some guys on the edge. I'm going to slide him in there. We spoke about it in our earlier pod this week. He's getting really close now in terms of all-time Sharks appearances.
He is fifth.
He's fifth and only a few games away from fourth. I think he's going to be one of those players that is maybe not going to be remembered in Sharks history the way I believe he should be remembered, which was as someone who was pretty crucial in helping steer the club through one of its most tumultuous periods, going back to Asada and going back to, you know, a time where he took a gamble on the club when he was young and the club rewarded him, and the way the club very early on identified something in him that it decided, and this is a Flano thing, that they decided this was the person who should be groomed to be the captain after Gal. It's not easy to follow someone's footsteps when those footsteps are as big as Paul Gallen's. But the way that he was prepared by the club and the way that he responded, even when Gal was playing, because Gal was missing some time here and there, and Wade never really felt like he was skipping a beat in those things, I'm going to slide him into my team and pair him up with Gavin Miller. That's more a pick from me. I know that, you know, we've got Greg Pearce there. There's definitely a host of other people that could have been there, but I feel pretty confident, and I'm starting to atone for my Matt Rogers miss a little earlier on, just a little.
Well, I mean, you don't need to. I mean, obviously, justifying your player is good for the listener, but you don't need to justify it to me. I mean, he's one of the best we've ever had, and him and Miller in the back row is pretty handy. I'm going straight to the pick you were going to pick. And I'm gonna pick 5'8". There's two choices that I could go with, and you should probably go the other way because I'm gonna take this guy. I was thinking Adam Dykes because just
good for Preston,
his flair and his ability and his openness to throw the ball around. Good for Preston, but I feel like Preston needs someone to guide him around, just with a bit more of a toughness to him, a bit more of a get to the fifth tackle and kick, maybe a bomb. And I'm thinking about our fourth most capped player, and I'm going to take at the 5'8 position, even though not one of my favorites, but I respect the hell out of him, Mr. Mitch Healy.
Hey, you hurt me. You've been doing this for the last few picks here. He was so reliable for me, just Mitch Healy. Played within himself. He's one of those players that just really played within himself in that position. Great memories for me personally. Growing up with him as one of those first halves that I, you know, gravitated towards as someone who just taught me the importance of organization on the pitch. And
yeah,
nice.
I feel like if Dykesy and Preston run the show, it might be a little bit skew if. So I feel even though I like that, I think that Mitch can kind of hold the fort down, and when Matt Rogers doesn't want to have a shot at goal, well, then he can have a shot at goal.
Your alternate person, so you had Adam Dykes as well as someone that you were tossing up in that position. Yeah.
Yes, cool.
No, I like that pick. You've picked very, very well. All night, annoyingly, from me. I'm going to skip over now that it's swung back to me, and we've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, we've only got 5 picks left to make each. And I'm going to quickly... I've picked a lot of 2016 people, and maybe that's
you know, we played other years, right?
Did we though? Did we really play other years?
Some years.
There are some picks that I want to make for myself, and while I'm stalling on some other picks that I haven't decided yet, I don't have a winger yet. The two wingers that I was probably looking at selecting are both gone, with Val and Matty Rogers off the board. There have been some wingers in our history who I found to be pretty electric and fun to follow. One of my favorite wingers ever is Matt Reek, who I think I might have messaged you about. The Matt Reek Paul Franzé combination was delightfully handsome, but also really fun for me. I don't remember someone being as fast as that. But I am going to select, you know, and this person was nominated for the team of the half century as well. I'm just going to back the rings, and I'm going to select Sisaia Feke.
Wow.
on the wing here to provide a little bit of that toughness running the ball back.
Which one of my favorite guys.
Which he's not going to have to do because Peach is going to be dancing circles around everyone. But
I'm not sure if he's able to do it right now. His hamstrings have been injured for a year in the Super League.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't think he's played since he's. I don't know, with COVID, and he's had some mad injury. Anyway, we're talking about the past, not
yeah. So, yeah, just great player for the club. Did his job well. Another one of those guys that played within himself, but wasn't afraid of a bump either, which I really appreciated about him. And I don't know if that was the Mickey Dennis rubbing off on him during some of those years, but didn't mind to run it back at you.
I'm proud to say, and I brag about this every now and then, that his first ever real interview was with Sharkcast TV back in the day.
Hey,
we were doing a at training kind of show, maybe, and blessed to be doing that, I should say. And we had a few people that we chatted to. It was great. And then I saw Feke nearby, and I said to a few people, I really want Feke. And they're like, you're no chance. And I can't remember who it was. It might have been Paulo. It might have been Latelli. Someone we vaguely knew and liked us for whatever reason heard us. And they literally dragged Feke towards us. Because we had like a bit of lighting up, and it looked a little bit semi-professional. And like they dragged this grown man towards us, and I was like, hey, we're friendly, and we're not going to stitch you up, and we love you, man. And this little voice is like, oh, I'm really nervous. And we were like, come on, do it. And he did it, and he was fantastic. He spoke really nicely. And Rob Willis was in the corner going, I don't know how you did it. they claim it's the first ever interview, so I'm really proud of that. I did want to say that his second game for us was in 2013 against the Tigers at the SFS on a Friday night. He scored two tries in our 30-6 victory, and I remember that standing out thinking, wow, we might have a winger here.
Hey.
I really do. Hey. I remember that. So
yeah, very cool. Very, very cool. That's a great story.
Jards, I need some more meat in my team, and I'm going to go with... This is an example of someone who I wouldn't necessarily say is one of my favorite players, or a bit in the Mitch Healy kind of territory. Someone I really respected and cheered on with all my heart, but was never a favorite. And that person is my front row prop, Jason Stevens.
Okay. Good pick.
I thought at the time when he came from the Dragons, oh, we'll see what's happening here. He was okay for them, but he really... found his groove under John Laing, and obviously a bit of a character off the field, and a really great person as well, but really tough guy on the field, and a classic kind of front rower. And when I looked at our list of front rowers, I thought he's got to be in the top five, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm grabbing him now.
He's a great player. Loved to lift the knee a little.
He did.
I remember defenders. We're a little wary of that knee.
A big fan of the wedgie too.
When I think of Jason Stevens, I think reliable prop, loved a knee, and looked amazing with the tips in the hair.
Colored
tips coming out.
Yeah,
which is phenomenal at the time. And look, since you've gone in that direction, and as it swings back to me, I'm going to be pretty quick on this one. I believe, like, the person who I want to pick right now, I'm going to take it forward. The person that I want to pick right now.
I've got someone you should pick.
Can you tell me who that is? Because this is my last forward pick anyways.
It's someone who you would have worked with.
Ooh, you're going to have to give me a little bit more than that.
He played a lot of games in a row for us.
Nah. That is who I was going to say.
You should do it.
Yeah, but
he's on my list, and I regret not doing it.
But I am worried that the internet trolls will remind me that Cliff Watson was still there, and that's a big...
Yeah, but we've already said that this is not necessarily the best guys. It's our guys.
You know what? I'm going to lean in on that, and I don't care what people think or say. I'm going to select Luke Douglas in my team with Cliff Watson still available. Phenomenal
great,
effort
great
there.
Player. Joe. Great player, Luke Douglas.
Yeah, look, in a team as stacked as the teams that we've picked, sometimes you just want to have a couple of guys in there who are going to do their job and pretty well, that's about it. Luke Douglas was someone whose streak, active playing streak, I am honestly surprised we don't talk about it as often as we do. And I think maybe Asada might have muddied the waters there a little. For others, not for me, but for others. Mm. But Luke Douglas was someone that you could always rely on to just get the job done pretty close to Origin selection, I believe, without ever actually being selected for Origin. He was a good teammate in the sense of he kind of really seeded that star forward role when Cade Snowden emerged there and kind of and he ended up being the Origin prop who was chosen from the Sharks contingent of forwards. Also, Luke's parents ran the Shark House, as you probably know for a while. Yeah. Luke's parents were there taking care of the juniors. The Shark House was kind of something that I knew of because my uncle Mark, who I mentioned earlier on, Mark Horro, he ran the Eels house. And so I had a little bit of exposure to how that worked and how much effort it took Luke's parents to put in. But on Luke himself, safe, did the job, was reliable, always turned up. I'm going to slide him into my team in the number 10 jersey, which I think was his jersey anyways.
I agree. I think he's a fantastic choice and I love watching him run around. I was really quite saddened when he went to the Titans. I know he went for family reasons, but I definitely felt that loss. When him and Snowden left, and you've told your Snowden story before, but when those guys left, I felt like it was the end of an era or whatever. And Snowden didn't really kick on to do much at all. But Douglas just kept playing good footy, you know. He was very reliable.
There's beauty in consistency.
There is.
That may not make the highlight reel or anything like that. And the very few players in club history have been as consistent as Luke Douglas was for the Sharks. Which brings it back to you.
It does. I'm just while we do this, I'm just going to make sure this gentleman fits the position I want him to play. I think maybe he would. Wow, he played a lot of games, this person I'm looking at. Position. Oh, yeah, he played a bit of both. Okay, cool. I'm going to go with, speaking of beautiful, I'm going to go with someone who's going to play in my second row. He is a little bit before your time, Jardine, if I look at his history. Oh, no, not so much. So he joined the Sharks in 1991 and stayed with us until 1998. Before that, he was a Rabideau. He's universally known as one of the toughest men alive. And I'm going to pick and put in my second row, Mr. Les Davidson.
Hey. Heavy hitter.
Now we're not so weak, are we, my team, Jax?
No, it's coming together. It's coming together.
And I've got to say, like, I mean, neither of us gave this the thought that it probably deserves. We 100%. Thought about it a lot, but we haven't studied it like we're going to study the one later on in the year. But I've got to say, like, I probably wouldn't have picked Lev Davidson in my team of all-time Sharks. But the way we're doing it, it's fun. And I just like I like the way he slots in here. That's my choice.
Very good. We are down to...
You've still got to pick a halfback, my friend.
I do. I'm going to leave that because now that you've filled out your halfback positions, I feel like I've got the run of the mill there. We're both kind of still looking for some things in our back line.
Yeah.
A few options here with Fecky, Val, and I guess Matt Rogers off the board. Some of the other names that come to mind, like Chris Gardner, Steve Edmonds, who were maybe just a little before I was there, Rick Burke as well, are names that kind of come up here and would make a nice fit there. But that position is probably similar to the other positions where, you know, it just pick your poison. You're not going to go wrong there. So I'm going to quickly skip back forward because I am still without a lock and I am going to slide in. I mean, can I ask you this question, Sam? Because I already know who I'm going to put there. Given you've taken Paul Gallen off the table,
yeah.
If I had done that, who would you have picked at this spot? I think we're going to say the same person here.
Yeah, we are. I would have picked the guy you're about to pick because he's one of my favorite players of all time. I think that his choice may get a few people writing to us just saying, well, you could have gone this guy, couldn't have gone that guy. But I would also, if I was you, pick the great redheaded lock forward.
Another victim of the Chris Anderson era. Really there. Let's lock Nick Graham in there.
Michael Jr. played above his weight.
Dealer? Was he a dealer boy?
Let me look that up. Much like your other back row, what you've got there is a really good attacking back row because he had really good, I've got to stop saying really, he had very good attacking skills.
Yeah, he was fantastic with the ball. Another one of those people where if you go back and look at the tape, the highlights, he's often throwing, you know, the last or the second to last pass that's going in there. And
D-Lar boy, just interrupt.
He was a D-Lar boy, yeah. So played within himself, also played very controlled football, so valuable. Makes sense for me to slide in there. You may have taken the two, you may have stopped me from living the two Rogers dream, but you have not stopped me from living the two Grahams dream. So there we have that combo. You are up, my friend, and we are rapidly accelerating towards the end of this draft.
Well, I know who's going to be my hooker, so I might
move
on to the backs because although one of the guys I'm going to pick, you're not going to pick. So
okay.
I need a center. So if I just do this for a sec and go center, what does it give me? E.T., Rogers. Ooh, there's one there. Yeah, maybe this is an easy one for me.
I went Chris McKenna a little earlier on because I felt like I needed to have someone there. Just center's one of those positions in football which is so important, but we don't really discuss it with the reverence that we discuss our halfbacks or our fullbacks or anyone else in the spine, but really important. So I'm interested to see which of the potential Mel or Bailey's combination or maybe something else.
I'm thinking something else, but I'm going to say there is some pretty good centers left on the board, that's for sure. But I'm probably going to go with the obvious one for some of our older listeners, and that is I'm going to go with the old center combo of Eddinghausen and Mark McGaugh. And they played at an international level, a state level, and a club level. And I probably am picking him because our team is going to play a little bit old school with the same centers on the same side of the field. And that's why I'm picking E.T. and McGaugh together. But there are some good centers left. And I can probably just talk about them because I've already picked my centers. And they include, I'm not going to start with the best, but I'm just going to mention him. And that's Ben Pomeroy. There is your very good friend, Ricky Vitelli.
Yep.
There is Colin Best.
Phil Bailey is there.
Phil Bailey played center and that's a man I love. There's Greg Mullane, who played a bit before our time, but was very, very good. There is another one who I never really loved as a fan, but he achieved a lot of things, and that's Russell Richardson.
Yep.
So you got a few choices here. You got Jackie Bird still there. You got Nigel, who came for a couple of years.
Oh, it's back to me now. Sorry, I was.
It is. I was just like giving you some choices for center. So I just went through the remaining centers that you could choose, but you've got both centers, so don't worry about that.
I do. I could pick one of them and slide them over to the wing, but it's unlikely any of those people there are going to carry me. So I'm gonna jump back to my halfback position, which is the only position that I have left open here. there is a little bit of a...
Don't you have a winger as well?
Yeah, I've got a winger. I've got a winger and a halfback left.
It's getting late, Jards.
It's getting late. We've gone past the midnight point. Controversial pick coming in. There's a lot of good halfbacks that are still there. Probably highlighted by the fact that the halfback that was named in the team of the century is the great Tommy Bishop, who I think most people who are playing this game sensibly would probably pick in that spot there. But I am going to jump over that, and I am going to select, very controversially, but also in the team of the half century anyways, I'm going to take Brett Kamoli.
Oh, nice.
And slide him in next to old Jimmy, which is going to give me the most structured but boring halves combination in...
No, Maloney's not boring.
No, he's not. He's actually one of the best players to
I like picking Kamoli. Like, he was on my list. He wasn't first choice, but
why did you take Preston so early? Why did you do me like that?
To right wrongs of the world, I told you.
I didn't appreciate him at the time of his arrival because I was probably an exemplar of the fans who felt like one of our favorite children had been the victim of a little bit of politicking. But I've said it on a previous episode that once the club made a decision to bring in Chris Anderson as its head coach, it made a lot of sense to have someone like Brett Kamoli come into the club very soon after to carry out his game plan. He was always going to do it better than he was always going to carry out that style of football much better than Preston was going to, frankly. Which again leads to the question of whether or not that was the right style of football. Clearly, nah. But, you know, you can only do what you can do, and quite important to club history all the same, I think. You've got two positions left to fill out.
Yes, it's very obvious that I am going to pick not necessarily the best hooker in the club's history, but the one with the biggest heart, dare I say, and that is 161 games worth from 95 to 2003. Only played three games in 2003, and you know all about that. That is my fellow alumni, Caringbah High brother, Dean Treister. And one of the world's wealthiest men right now.
Quite the businessman.
Heart of a shark, and flew halfway around the world to watch his team win the comp. Played again above his height and weight, and just everything that embodied the local junior, doing it for your club, one club man, and... good on him for speaking out about the Anderson ending, which he did on TK's show.
One of the best episodes of TK's show of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
So good, that episode. And it's going to hold up very well in time. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to that one.
So I'm picking Dean Treister, please.
Dean Treister. All right. So we both just got wingers left to pick. So I haven't... Jeez. I need to just quickly look at some notes that I had left here. I'm going to propose something to you right now.
A trade?
I'm going to propose a trade to you right now. And I'm going to propose...
this will be good.
I would like to take... because I just want to see this on paper, Schnaz. Let me have this on paper.
Mm.
I would like to take Matt Rogers from you.
Mm.
And I'm prepared to give you... the player that I took before him, or any other player that I took before him, not named David Peachy or Steve Rogers. I just want to have a 1-2-3 of Peachy, Rogers, and Rogers.
So who are you proposing?
You can take, of those selections there, I've got James Maloney. I've got Andrew Fifita left that you can take. Let me have this one, great man. Give the people what they want.
So wait, you want Matt Rogers, and who am I getting?
You can have your choice of either James Maloney, which means I'm going to need to kind of pick a halfback, a 5'8" there in that spot, or Andrew Fifita, the greatest prop in club history. Let's make this fun. Come on, Schnaz, do it.
You know who you sound like. You sound like your former colleague, Nathan Brooks. Oh, come on, Schnaz, let's just have fun and trade.
Come on, Schnaz, do it. Do it.
I want to keep Matt Rogers.
What they want.
No.
Nah.
The trade's off.
The trade's off. Never even got going. All right.
I mean, who have you got here? I mean, yeah, I wouldn't mind. I mean, yeah, I'm a big Gavin Miller fan.
Yeah. Yeah, you're asking a bit. You're asking a bit there. Mm. Gavin Miller was pretty early.
Why don't we leave the trades for the end of the year draft?
Okay.
And then there'll be more people there and we can
have some fun.
Yeah.
With that one. Well, be that the case, let us wrap this one up. I am going to take, you know, kind of known mostly. I think Dave Riccio would point out as the fullback replacement for I think it was for Warren Fisher in the first grand final that we were in. I'm going to take Rick Burke. And
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna slide him in there. I think his try ratio was a little light on, but I will say this: part of the reason that I wanted to pick him is because of the very limited Sharks historical knowledge that I have. I do think he played in both the 73 and 78 grand finals.
He definitely played in 73. He played in both 78s. There you go.
Yeah, cool. Slide him in.
So Rick Burke played 156 games, including two for the Rabbitohs, which no one talks about, 1983. What did he score? 38 tries. Definitely a great Shark and a good pickup for you, Jarvis. Mm,
yeah. Not a terrible last round pick.
No, I'm going to go for someone that I spoke about on the pod in the last 5 or 6 weeks. Definitely my young person. What's before teenage?
Preteens, do they call it?
Preteen, my preteen years. A man who was the Dally M Rookie of the Year in 1987.
Ooh.
His dad and his brother played, and this gentleman played a whole bunch of games for us between 86 and 94. Also played two games for the Dastardly Dragons in 95, which kind of tarnishes it a little bit for me. But I am going to, I believe he's now a listener of the pod, which is unbelievable. I am going to pick Mr. Alan Wilson, who played, I think, 12 of the 13 positions on the field. He's going to be my winger. He did play wing. Let me have a look if I can tell you how many games at wing he played.
The Swiss Army knife of rugby league.
He played 19 games on the wing, but they were in his earlier years of 87 to 91.
Right.
And then he sort of, because he was quite a stocky young man, he filled out and he played a bunch of forwards. He literally played everywhere, but I think prop maybe. So yeah, just a wonderful local junior and still involved with the club and the community. And yeah, Al Wilson, he's like my fan favorite kind of guy. You know, I'll probably get trolled for this one, but I don't really care.
That's all right. I picked Luke Douglas.
I believe, let me just confirm this, he played State of Origin, so he can't have been that bad. He played two games in the 89 season. And if you're listening, Al, I'm just kidding. You were never bad. You were awesome. So that's my final pick. So
we are wrapped up. So shall we go through them?
Yeah.
Shall we go through them?
So you read out your team.
Team Jards in our first ever Sharkcast draft is as follows from 1 through 13. David Peachy, Sisaia Fecky, Steve Rogers, Chris McKenna, Rick Burke, James Maloney, Brett Camorley, Andrew Fifita, Mick Ennis, Luke Douglas, Gavin Miller, Wade Graham, and Nick Graham. Man.
It's a good team.
Shut the front door. We're done here. Like we're taking this one, Schnaz, New South Wales over Queensland style.
Well, I don't know about that. I've got Valentine Holmes, Matt Rogers, Andrew Eddinghausen, Mark McGaw, Alan Wilson. My halves are Mitch Healy and Preston Campbell. My front row is Dane Sorensen, Dean Treister, and Jason Stevens. No one's messing with that. And my back row is Luke Lewis, Les Davidson, and Paul Gallen. In fact, I'm going to say my strengths are the forwards after all that, all those buying those little guys. My strengths are the forwards.
So good. This is fun. It is a great team. I'm just kidding as well.
It's going to be even more interesting when we get. I think we get one or two more people involved. We don't want to get a whole lot because it gets too messy. But
yeah.
At least one or two other people, including our mate TK, and we'll do it at the end of the year. And then we can trade and the picks will be harder as well. And I won't be able to necessarily pick, you know, we won't be able to pick all these amazing, it'll be a bit more streamlined. So, but it has been fun, Jared.
The one thing we need to finish up on, we need to quickly wrap up on this, is we both need a coach. And I guess it's coming back to me. So we're going to do it. I'm going to make it quick. I don't know how we forgot this, but we do need a coach there. I'm going to select as the coach for Team Jards. I'm going to bring in Shane Flanagan and put him there in line with my premiership winning theme. And frankly, greatest coach in club history. I'm going to put it out there.
He is. Yeah, he is. I'm going to toss up between Chris Anderson and Craig Fitzgibbon, but I'll probably go with John Laing.
Ah, very good.
I mean, I've got half his team in there anyway, so.
You do. You do. This was fun. Let's put this out into the wild and see how people feel about it, and maybe we can get a poll going.
We could actually do it weekly, right?
I don't know. I think
You can't pick the same player, maybe. But
yeah, I think the wrinkle that you would put on this next time is that you actually have a wheel going around, and kind of every round the wheel spins, and you have to pick. And on the wheel are positions. So you don't necessarily get to pick things in order. You have to pick in the order that the wheel tells you you have to pick. So it kind of becomes a little bit of luck. So maybe we can do that at the big one at the end of the year.
Or you could do something crazy like you have to have a certain number of people from each era. So we're not all picking 2016 or whatever. And you can have the wheel going and I don't know. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, good fun. Thank you for doing this, and thank you for listening, everyone. It's been
thanks so
good
much.
Trip down memory lane.
We do want our listeners to get involved, so send us your teams. Send us what you think of our teams. No one is allowed to say anything about Valentine Holmes, and do that via sharkcastpod@gmail.com, please, and we will find all of your responses. And just a quick shout out to our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club at Port Hacking, and Jason Hawes at Crips and Crips. Thank you for supporting us. And again, to our listeners, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. And Jardine, I can't thank you enough for your time this week. You've given me a lot of time and I appreciate it. It's almost like the old Fox days. We'd hang out over long lunches.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
No worries. We'll get you back on soon. And until then, everyone, send us your fantasy teams and we will say up, up Cronulla. Thanks a lot.
Three out from half time. They need to score if there are any chance of man lost it. And here's a try. If he can link up with Peachy, they're away. They won't catch David Peachy, will they? They will. Where's Preston? He's run away from him. Preston's on their inside. Now he's on their outside. They still won't get Peachy. He's going for the corner. Here comes the cover. They don't try. They win a game. I don't believe it. What a try, David Peachy.
Orbison, the first man play. The ball goes to ground. It was a terrible pass. Ferguson couldn't pick it up. And now Fecky's away. He skipped away from Kenny Dowell. And the Sharks run to victory number 14 in a row.
Pierce. Hansard, the dummy. Away nicely to Steve Moon. He's got support in Rogers. Gives it to Rogers. He's got to close the gates. That's under the posts. The Manly defence is appalling. There are other adjectives, but that'll do. Appalling. Watch it. Hansard, a little shuffle, a little dummy, right through. Beautifully away to Neen. Neen had, he had the choice of two. He had one on one side and one on the other. He gave it the right way to Rogers, and Rogers backing up superbly under the posts.
Priester, inside ball. McKenna gets his second try in the space of just 4 minutes. And big Chris McKenna, he makes it five for the year now.
We're thinking about the correction he needs to make this to put the Sharks on top of the ladder. It's on its way, staying straight off the upright and in. A kick to win.
It comes back to Kamala, grubbering in again behind them. He gets a bounce. That's try number six. And you can't believe how easily they're doing it here at the moment.
Gallant quick play the ball. Everett Kamala sums it up. A rebound. But once again, gets himself in a position to retrieve the football back.
Michael Ennis, dummy half. Flat pass for Feeder. Defenders all over
him. Got it down.
He gets it down all right. Between the uprights for Feeder. That's going to level it up with 11 to go. Let's go to the bunker.
We've got try. Confirm he grounded it before it touched anyone else, please.
Well, I've just seen an SMS from Tom saying Fifita must run straight or Sharks no chance. Melbourne knew what was coming, Matthew, and Fifita, I think, has scored anyway.
You know, the ball's been grounded in the end goal, now looking to determine that it hasn't been knocked on in the lead-up.
Can you get the ball down? Yes, that's fine.
Oh, what?
How did he do that? What strength? Dexterity.
That is more than strength, Andrew. That is just pure willpower and determination. He had no right to get there. Had three players on him. Look at that. He knew there was no way down there, so he spins.
He
through the tackle.
Keeps his arm up.
So Andrew Fifita maintains possession and grounds the ball in the decision and going to the ball.
That he's got that down. It's about to be 12 more with a kick to come from in front. Here we go, the big screen. Chicken for Fifita. Eat as much as you like. He scored between the uprights.
Oh, wow, you said it. Unbelievable. You spoke about this crowd being quiet. They're certainly not quiet now. They have come alive.
Vanilla fans, keep those porch lights on. Harold Holt might be dropping by after all. 10 minutes 42 to go. Kick to come from Maloney in what's become a most enthralling grand final, Matthew Elliott.
And I don't know how to sum up what we just saw from an individual there. He just basically plunged himself into the centre of the Melbourne Storm defensive unit that has repelled everything this evening. Everything that has come their way. He thumps into four players. They hold him up. He looks like he's going down one way. He does a full pirouette with the ball in his right hand and somehow over the top of his head gets the ball down. Amazing.
To me, Matty, fast speed, real speed. That's the speed I always want to see exciting moments in the game. But to me, you needed the slow motion to appreciate everything that Andrew Fifita had to do, every sinew of his body.
Mate, I've got Michael Ennis here, a couple of his family members who just come down. Mate, what is your last ever game of NRL? How are you feeling?
Oh, mate, when that Funivalu made that break at the end, it was just heartbreak. I thought, I had visions of him running around under the post and it all over, and somehow we kept him out, and oh, the bus can't get back to Cronulla quick enough.
But when Fifita scored that try, unbelievable to get that down. Courageous.
I felt like we were going sideways, Bobcat. We needed to play straight. He'd just come back onto the field and I seen Hampton in the line. I just winked at him. I said, mate, you got to go here. And he just went, mate. And then that, I don't know how he got it down, mate. What a player.
You've had such a great NRL career, and to finish it like this today, can you believe it?
Oh, what a way to end, Cat. I thought it had got past me, mate, when Chambers scored. I thought it was going to be so hard, mate, that Melbourne wall. We just couldn't find a way through, and then we just did it, mate. It's unbelievable.
Moving into dummy half now, Aiton. Inside runner, that is a well-constructed try. Big Luke Douglas claims 4 points. You want to know things they work on over the off-season to surprise teams in the first couple of rounds? Well, simply this is it.
As Miller does his own sort of running, right through a huge gap, looks for Coleman. That's a magnificent piece of rugby league. Coleman picks up try number two, but put it down to Miller, the Dally M Award winner from last year. Sensational stuff by the Sharks.
Boys, I've got Wade Graham here, mate. Tell us how you're feeling at this moment.
Oh, mate. Have a look at it, mate.
He can't speak.
Oh, mate. Unbelievable. Oh, what a game, mate. What a game. Look at the boys. Mate, the Cronulla supporters have been so good. We're bringing the trophy back to them, mate.
On that tackle, Peachy. Great ball to Campbell. He's away. Campbell to the 30-metre line. Now, Colin Best heading for the corner. Gets it back on the inside. Graham. They're over.
The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking. It's a great place to catch up with friends, celebrate your birthday or any special occasion, and they always show the NRL live on the big screens. They also have live acoustic music on weekends. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights for lunch and dinner, and they also do a phenomenal breakfast on weekends. If you mention Sharkcast, you get a free garlic bread, baby. The RMYC Port Hacking, proud sponsors of this podcast and big supporters of the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Check out their website, rmycph.com.au. They've got a Facebook page, or you could go old school and call them on 02-9523-9300.
The precision of Michael Morgan gives them six more tackles, and here is Morgan intercepted by Valentine Holmes. Lachlan Coote coming across. Asiata is also there. He turned Coote inside out. Holmes will go 90 metres and scores for the Sharks.
Unbelievable.
What a run. Weaving, working his way downfield. He turned them inside out.
That was brilliant from Valentine Holmes, the game's top try scorer.
El Masri. Oh, it's lost by Pete. Rogers is heading for the corner. Rogers, he'll make it. Matt Rogers is over. Off an Adam Peake mistake.
Spina. Russell standing outside him. McGaw to Ettinghausen. Ettinghausen coasting along. Now he claps on the spin. Goes straight past McGowan. Ettinghausen could go all the way. McArthur comes across at him. Ettinghausen for the line and he scores. Great solo effort from Andrew Ettinghausen.
Who plays the ball, Diamond, Quinn, the long pass comes to McGaw, McGaw's long pass over the top, that stains with it, away it goes to Coleman, now Coleman's over the halfway, Coleman coming down to the quarter line, Lydon giving chase, back it goes to Ettinghausen, Ettinghausen slips it, hit back to Coleman, Coleman away to Ronnie Quinn, to McGaw, McGaw, McGaw will score, what a try! What a great try!
Brilliant try by Cronulla.
Healy! 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 It's Healy! And scores! On his departure day! Mitch Healy gets a try! The crowd have gone absolutely bereft!
Now it's gone across to the middle of the ground. Through Stewart, through Treister, through Ferris. Campbell will score! Campbell scores his second try of the day. The Dogs are in trouble. Stevens away for Lang. Martin Lang. I don't think I've seen him score a try before.
Here's Treister over the score. Dean Treister's gone over in the far corner. So Cronulla, with 12 men, have struck back. 22-10.
Boys, I've got Louis here. Lewis, what about this, mate? How good is this?
Oh, mate, I don't even know what to say. I must have lost the words, mate. Outstanding game of footy. Melbourne were the benchmark all year. No one gave us a chance, and I'm so glad that we got the win tonight for not just for us boys and families, but for all the Cronulla supporters who have been waiting for this for a long time.
To all you fans, you've waited 50 years for this. Can't thank you enough to all you former players. Blokes like ET, guys who busted their backsides for the club and never quite got to enjoy this, I hope you enjoy it. And to all you people back in the Shire, turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy. Turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Sharkcast is supported by the best and most honest real estate agent in the Sutherland Shire, Jason Hawes from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. He's an expert in the Currumbarra region and has his eye all across the Shire. Lifelong Sharks fan and supporter of this podcast, if you're looking to buy or sell in the region, the person you need to be talking to is Jason Hawes from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. Call him on 0410 417 450. That's 0410 417 450. Jason Hawes, Cripps and Cripps Real Estate.